I said, John, he's trying to get me crying already this morning, singing Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. Oh, takes you back to your childhood, singing at church, doesn't it? Those old songs are good, aren't they? Amen. Hey, they're great. A couple of my friends, Nick and Yvonne Hetman over here, get a chance to say, hey, they're coming to visit today, and love them and known them forever. So get a chance to say hey to them. But I want to do a little exercise with you this morning. I want everybody to say amen. Amen. Amen, that's right. Now, I want you to say, that's right. That's right. And now I want you, Connie's shaking her head. Now I want you to go, mm-hmm. All right, now say, amen. That's right. Mm-hmm. There you go. Now, you're all set. That's encouragement. When John and Todd and I or anybody else is up here, that's encouragement. You know, I've told you guys before, I came from a little Methodist church in Simpsonville, Kentucky. And back in the day, you wouldn't know it now, but back in the day, they were called shouting Methodist. And they were, because people would say, amen. They'd be, that's right. Sometimes they'd say, preach it. They'd do it, and I was used to that. And nowadays, you get in some churches, you say, amen, and people like turn around like, who's talking? Who's talking in church? It's good stuff. It's encouragement. So feel free if you want to say amen or that's right. It won't bother me one bit. So we're in the I Am. We're in the I Am series. Series. You know what I said about series? Not going to do it. But here I am. Doing the I Am series. So last week, John, he talked about Jesus being the bread of life. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. One thing I took a note on that John said last week, and it's so true, is that Jesus satisfies everything that your heart hungers for. Jesus satisfies everything that your heart hungers for. Amen. So today, we're going to focus upon John 8:12, okay? I am the light of the world. Now you tell me the apostles, they're going to be like, what? You're what? You're the light of the world. Well, I want to go on to read. I don't have it, Tim, up here. One of them I will, but the first part I don't have up here. But I wanted to read John 1-5 this morning. And John 1-5 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through Him all things were made that have been made, and in Him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness shall not overcome it. Now I want to take you back. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1 takes Jesus all the way back to creation, to Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created. Are you with me? In the beginning was the Word. Word, logos, in Greek, refers to the Greek idea of a higher power. Some force that has created all things and that holds all things together. So Word in 1 John, and when we refer to Word, it's not referring to Scripture, the word in the Scripture. John is basically saying, let me tell you guys who this higher power is. Because he is the light of all. And then later in verse 14, and the Word became flesh in Jesus. Amen? All right. So Jesus is there from the start. The Word is there from the start. And he said, I am the light of the world. And the darkness has not overcome it. The light of Christ's love, his salvation, his forgiveness, and his mercy can never be extinguished. Never. But the darkness of this world certainly tries to extinguish it, doesn't it? Huh? Amen, it does. I mean, just take a look at what's going on in the world right now. Just take a look at Ukraine, what is going on over there in Ukraine. But even if that wasn't going on, just the lust for power, that men want power, men and women want power, the love of money, greed, envy, self-centeredness, the love of drugs, the love of alcohol, the love of sex, the love of gambling. The list is endless. What man tries to do in the darkness. When I was with the sheriff's department, I was always seeing darkness. My mother one time said, David Lee, you just see darkness. You're just seeing darkness. Murders, rape, suicides, child sexual abuse, car wrecks, spouse abuse, thefts. That list goes on and on. Darkness trying to overcome the light. And the more darkness that is in your life, the more darkness that I saw, it tries to overpower the light in your life. You see less light when you're constantly focused on the darkness of this world. As a deputy sheriff, I wasn't necessarily what you'd call a scaredy cat. You can't be a scaredy cat and be a police officer. You can't. But let me tell you something. Any peace officer that tells you that they haven't been scared is either a liar or they're a fool. Okay? I'm just telling you. There were plenty of times that I was scared. Especially at night. That was the worst. In the darkness. Searching a warehouse. Searching a building. Often by yourself. Thinking that somebody else or something was in there. And you had limited use of your flashlight. Okay? Because if you turned your flashlight on, then it gave away your position to whoever might be in that building. Let me tell you, it's scary stuff. Make no mistake. And as I said, especially in the darkness. And certainly, on the night that I got shot, there was darkness. I had to do it, Sam. I had to bring it up. I did. There was darkness that night. And I've told you all before, I can't describe to you what it's like for somebody to take your life, somebody that is trying to kill you. But there was fear, and there was fear of death that night. There was fear of what was going to happen to me if I died that night. Darkness. But after I repeated the 23rd Psalm, there was light. There was light. And I've told you all before that God was there. And he didn't say, Oz, you're going to live or you're going to die. He just said, I'm here. And there was light. Light in my darkest hour. You got me? Light in my darkest hour. Calm in the middle of the storm. In Exodus 3:14, God said to Moses, or Moses said, who am I going to tell sent me? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. That night, in that driveway, I am was there with me. And there was light. And there was peace. Jesus, his heart was a pure heart. The Savior, he was adored by thousands of people, yet he was content to live just a simple life, wasn't he? He was cared for by women, but he was never accused of lustful thoughts. He was scorned by his creation, but he was willing to forgive them even before they requested his mercy. Peter, who traveled with Jesus for 3.5 years, described him as a lamb without blemish or defect. And after spending the same amount of time with him, John said about Jesus, he concluded, "And in him there is no sin." Jesus' heart was a peaceful heart, was it not? It was. The disciples, they fretted over the need to feed the 5,000 that John talked about last week, but Jesus, he didn't. He thanked God for the problem, for the opportunity to show God's glory. The disciples, they shouted in fear during the storm, "Save us." They were scared, but Jesus, he slept through it. Peter, he drew out his sword, didn't he, and cut off the Roman soldier's ear when he came, but Jesus reached out his hand to heal it. Did Jesus lose his temper? No. When the soldiers spit in his face, did he breathe fire back in their face? Far from it. Jesus, he was at peace. Even in his darkest hour, he was at peace. He forgave them. He refused to be guided by vengeance and by the darkness of this world. Jesus was light. He brought light to wherever he went. He refused to be guided by anything other than his high call. Jesus' heart was a purposeful heart. Folks, most lives aim for nothing in particular, and they achieve it most of the time. You hear what I'm saying? Most lives, they aim at nothing in particular, and they achieve it. But Jesus aimed at one goal. And that one goal was to save humanity from their sin. That was the goal. He could summarize his life with one sentence in Luke 19:10. "The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost, to save you and me, to save Oz Osborne. That's who he came to seek and to save. Amen? Saved you, didn't he? Amen. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they all refer to the parable that Jesus used about hiding a light under a bushel basket. We've all heard it, haven't we? Right? Okay. I'm going to read it to you. Matthew 5:14-16. It says, "You, Steve Englehart, you, Kathy, you, are the light of the world. A city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, the lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Read that one more time. That one. "In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." How many folks have you heard say in your life, "I don't like to talk about my faith. It's private. It's a thing between God and I." I'm going to tell you something, folks. It is not. It is not between you and God only. You understand what I'm saying? It's not. He says, let your light shine before others so our Father in heaven may be glorified. Let your light shine what God has done for you in your life, how He's blessed you, how He's brought you out of addiction, how He saved your marriage, how He saved your children, how He's helped you financially. That is what God says, share with the world. This is what I do. This is how I change people's lives. I am the light of the world. Not once did Jesus call us to be Christians. Not one time did He call us to be Christians. But guess what? He called us to be His disciples. I'm calling you to make disciples of all the world. I'm calling you to be a disciple. What's it take? What's it take to be a disciple? To let your light shine. I'm going to borrow something from Max Lucado, which is such a great parable and a great example of what it takes to be a disciple. In the shop of a blacksmith, there are three types of tools. There are tools that are in the junk pile. They're outdated. They're broken. They're dull. They're rusty. They sit in the corner, useless to their master, oblivious to their calling. And then there are tools that are on the anvil, melted down, molten hot, moldable, changeable. They lie on the anvil, being shaped by their master, accepting their calling. And then there are tools of usefulness, sharpened, primed, defined, mobile. They lie ready in the blacksmith's tool chest, available to their master, fulfilling their calling. Some people lie useless, lives broken, talents wasting, fires quenched, dreams dashed. They're tossed in with the scrap iron, in desperate need of repair, with no notion of purpose, overcome by the darkness of this world. We are all somewhere in the blacksmith shop. Some of us have been in all three places in the blacksmith shop. For you that make the journey, who choose to walk in light, to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, who leave the heap of darkness and enter the fire, dare to be pounded on God's anvil and seek to discover your purpose in this life that He has for all of us that are His disciples. Take courage, for you await the privilege of being called God's chosen instruments. Amen. I want to be a chosen instrument of God. I want to fulfill His purpose for me in my life. Do we not all want that? Do we not desire that? Do we not all want to face our Savior one day and Him say, good job, good and faithful, well done, good and faithful servant? Amen? Well, sure we do. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. Light wins, folks. Light wins. It always wins. Nobody walks into a room and turns on the darkness, do they? No. You turn on the light. You turn on the light, and the only way for the light to be extinguished is if somebody turns it off. Right? So where are you today? Where are you in the blacksmith shop? You in the scrap pile? You on the anvil? Are you in the master's hand? One of my brothers in our men's group told a story just last Friday. This is past Friday. And he said he got invited by a friend to another men's group down around Kentucky Lake. And he went, and the guy that was leading it said, "I want to tell you a little something about my life." He said, "I was really in a lot of trouble with the law. I mean, a lot of trouble with the law." And he said, "My life was an absolute wreck. It was a wreck. I was involved with drugs, just the normal, just all that. It was a wreck. And I took my case to an attorney, and he had my jacket, he had my file, and he sat there at his desk, and he read my file, and I was sitting there, and he said, I'd already paid him to represent me in court. And he said, after just a little bit, after reading my file, he said, he just closed my file and he laid it on his desk. And he said to me, you know what I think you need? And he said, I said, no. And he said, I think you need a relationship with the Lord. And he said, I mean, it flew all over me. He said, I mean, it made me fighting mad. Here I was paying this guy to represent me, to help me with this case. And he says, I think what you need is a relationship with the Lord. Well, the attorney went on and helped him, and it helped him in court. But he said, I went home, and after it was all over and everything was straightened out in court, that kept eating at me that I needed a relationship with the Lord. He said, I told my wife, this is driving me crazy that I need a relationship with the Lord. And he said, we weren't going to church. We didn't have a church to go to. But he said, we just picked one, randomly picked one. And we went to church, and they had Sunday school that day when we went, and we went into the Sunday school room, and I sat there, and the Sunday school teacher came in, and guess who it was? It was the attorney that told him he needed to have a relationship with the Lord. Now, you can't make that stuff up, folks. You can't write it. That attorney that day let his light shine to someone else. He wasn't worried about him being offended. He wasn't worried about any of that. He just said, I think you need a relationship with the Lord. And he did develop a relationship. He planted the seed. He let his light shine, and it affected somebody else's life. It changed somebody else's life. Jesus worked through that, and he works through you and me. We have that power. We have that authority that he's given us to do that. We're not a bunch of weaklings. We're not a bunch of scaredy-cat Christians. We have the authority of God Almighty on our side. Amen? I mean, Lordy. That'd make a crippled man dance. Right, Greg? Amen. That's right. So, today, are you walking in the light? Are you letting others see your light? Are you sharing the good news of Jesus Christ? Or are you still in the darkness? I'll close with one of my favorite quotes. You can spend your life any way you want to, but you can only spend it once. Which will it be? In the darkness or in the light? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank you. We just thank you that we're all here in your light this morning. Your light shines through the darkness. Your light shines through the windows of this church. It shines through the windows of our heart, of our minds. And I just pray this morning that there's folks that are here that are still in darkness, that want to come out of that darkness. They want to get off the scrap pile. They want to get on the anvil. They want to be molded and pounded out for the purpose that you have for them and the purpose that you would have them to do, Father. I just ask that they would open their hearts to you, Father, and ask for your help and ask for your direction and ask for your purpose, Father, because I know, and you said, if you ask, it shall be given. If you ask for forgiveness, it shall be given, Father. Ask for mercy, He'll be there. So, Father, I love all these folks that are here. We love You, and we thank You for all the blessings that You bestowed upon us in this body of believers. We certainly pray for those brothers and sisters across this world that are in despair, that are in hardship, that are fighting for their lives in some areas, Father. We pray for them. We lift them up, Father. We love You, and we ask all these things in the blessed name of Jesus. And everybody say it. Amen. Amen.